coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, we talk about the weekend, what went on, what's going on, how the opening day roster is going to shake out, how the opening day lineup is going to shake out, and a couple more things. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen or on YouTube, and you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Green Fiends. With me is my co-host, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and we are lifelong Dodger fans just like you. We've also spent some time covering the Dodgers in the press box and locker room. So while we're not quite insiders, we're still going to hear, but to bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So go ahead and subscribe, and let's talk some Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so long weekend. We had an emergency episode on Friday during the day because the Dodgers acquired Craig Kimbrel, who will talk about his first outing as a Dodger, which couldn't have gone any worse, I don't think. But we'll talk about that and if we're concerned and some other concerns a little bit later on. But the Dodgers are back in Southern California. They played on Sunday against the Angels. Didn't quite go their way. Walker Buehler went five innings, 85 pitches, which is probably the more important part, although he did give up five runs, three home runs, almost gave up two more home runs to Mike Trout. He talked about his outing a little bit after the game and, you know, kind of said that working on some things, would have liked to pitch better, got some swings and misses on his changeup and also allowed some home runs on his changeup. But all in all, you know, that was the majority. He threw 85 pitches, and I think that's what really matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, and he didn't say the phrase "read the room" to David Vasse when Vasse was asking him questions, but you could tell it was in the tone of his answers. I'm convinced that most of those guys don't like Vasse, but Buehler's hardly even trying to hide it.
Like, yeah, definitely not. One guy that did look good this weekend is Clayton Kershaw, who threw on Saturday, and yeah, like I said, looked good. Came out firing in that first inning, had three strikeouts, struck out the side on 11 pitches against what might be the Giants' first three hitters in the regular lineup. So that was good. Ended up giving up one run. Slider looked good. Curveball looked really good. And Clayton Kershaw looks locked in right now.
Yeah. And, you know, again, with the caveat of spring training only means so much, but we're always looking at stuff. You know, the results don't really matter, which is good because the Dodgers lost that game 10-2 or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, Kershaw's stuff looked good. He had good command of the slider and the curveball. I didn't notice many, if any, changeups in that game. Did you?
I didn't notice any that were outlandishly specific, but I think maybe playing the Giants, he didn't want to show it off too much.
Yeah, that could be. And like you said, you know, they did stack some lefties, which was kind of interesting. You know, you had Yastrzemski and Belt and a few other lefties in there. And I would assume that his changeup is going to be used more against righties. That's traditionally how pitchers use their changeups, is against the opposite handed hitters. And so maybe it just didn't come up. And maybe there were some that we just didn't see. You know, this game didn't have Statcast in the stadium, so we didn't have on-screen velocities or anything like that. And sometimes with, you know, the movement on his different pitches, sometimes it is the velocity that you can tell the difference between a pitch, because for whatever reason, like even with his slider, it's always been more apparent to the hitters than to us on TV what he's throwing. Just probably just the camera angle that, you know, slightly to the left field side of center. So we don't get to pick up that movement as much. And so there might be some of that with the changeup too.
Yeah, that's possible. One thing we did talk about on Friday's emergency episode that seems to be a little different than what we thought is that Dave Roberts said that Chris Taylor should get, I think the word he used was majority of the playing time in left field, and then Gavin Lux will sprinkle in. You know, where we kind of said maybe Gavin Lux gets the majority of the time in left field and Chris Taylor moves around like he's used to, but it appears it might not be that way, at least early on. So any surprise there, or, you know, do you think they just want to have the more consistent bat in at the moment and maybe kind of see what Lux does moving around?
Well, and I think Lux is going to get plenty of playing time. It's just a matter of where it's going to be. And I think you can make a pretty strong case either direction, you know, because Taylor does have more experience as a utility guy. He's probably more accustomed to that role. So that would be the argument in favor of just throwing Lux out there and left. But on the flip side, Chris Taylor is right at this moment a better defensive left fielder than Gavin Lux, despite what we saw in Sunday night's game when he made what should have been an error, but it was called a double. It would have been a nice catch, but it was a catch that Chris Taylor usually makes. You know, range-wise, if all three guys are healthy, an outfield of Mookie, Bellinger, and Taylor is ridiculously good defensively, and I think that's definitely a big part of the equation. And, you know, it shows some trust in Gavin Lux, too, that they trust his bat to work even if he is bouncing around positions. And, you know, I think some guys are affected by that and some guys aren't. And so we'll see if Gavin Lux is, but you know, he's got the athleticism to play wherever, and he's not your prototypical left fielder. He's not a big power hitter, you know? And so it does, I guess it makes sense to have him move around. So yeah, like I say, I can make a case for either side, and I don't think there's a right or wrong answer necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, the other part too, is that second base and DH are both, you know, kind of open depending where they put Muncy. So, you know, there's at bats there for him to have. I guess we're going to talk about some other concerns, but this is kind of a smaller one on the Lux side and a little bit amplified by Rick Monday talking about it every single chance he gets. But Lux has had some issues throwing the ball, mainly on turning double plays, maybe more of a thing where he's rushing rather than an actual issue with throwing the ball. But he has had issues throwing the ball in the past. So, just something to be of note. Again, I don't think it'll affect them right now, if, like, playing them at second base, but I think if it continues, it would be something they have to monitor.
Yeah, it seems like a footwork thing on those double plays where he just doesn't actually get his momentum going and tries to trust his arm too much or whatever. My general rule of thumb is to try not to let Rick Monday's amplifications sway me too much. You know, I've always felt like Lux's throwing concerns were a little bit overblown, and not that they don't exist, but I feel like people who watch every game, you're going to remember specific things. And, you know, when you look at raw data and actually what happens, I think his throwing issues are relatively minor and I'm not too concerned about it, but there's definitely room for improvement. And whoever Dino Ebel or whoever's working with the infielders, you know, there's definitely stuff to work on with him.
Yeah. So speaking of all that, we're going to talk about the opening day roster. Got a little bit more clear. As you mentioned earlier, Jeff, they're going to have 16 pitchers. We essentially know who the 12 position players are going to be. So we're going to get into that. First, let's talk about BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Baseball futures, this is your last week to get, or not your last week, but this is a good week to get your baseball futures in. You know, Freddie Freeman for MVP, or, you know, Walker Buehler for Cy Young, whatever you want to do, go check out betonline.net and, you know, put some money down on your Dodgers, or maybe put your money down on Dodgers winning the World Series. I know they're the odds on favorite, but they still have good odds because every team has good odds at this point. So go ahead and check it out. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters odds, baseball odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to their website today on your laptop or mobile device and learn more about all the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you want another listen for your day, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. I will say Lindsey Crosby does know his stuff. He is very smart and in tune with prospects. So if you want to check that out, you know, even for like fantasy purposes, if you guys are in a dynasty league or something like that. But anyways, moving on back to the Dodgers. Jake Lamb was reassigned to the minor leagues. Kevin Pillar put out a tweet that made it seem like he's going to the minor leagues. And with all that being said, I think we have our 12 position players that are going to be on the opening day roster now.
Yeah. And, you know, when the Dodgers did trade Pollock, we didn't necessarily talk about this on our emergency episode the other day, but I had the thought at the time that that did increase the chances of them actually doing the 16 pitcher thing that they had talked about maybe doing. Last week, I said it just didn't seem likely to me because that would leave just one spot for Lux, Rios, Lamb, and Pillar. But by trading Pollock, that meant that that would then be two spots for those four guys. And since two of the guys aren't currently on the 40-man roster, it's, you know, definitely, and by bringing in Kimbrel, who is an obvious roster spot for the pitchers, it did make it more likely they'd go with 16 pitchers. And yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. Like I've been positive that there was no way Kevin Pillar was making the opening day roster, and Jake Lamb made a good case, but there's no reason to force the issue. Like I talked about last week, once he's on the 40-man roster, the only way to get him off the active roster is to DFA him. And so it wouldn't make sense to put him on for opening day just because he had a good spring, because you're kind of locking yourself in. And you know, the Dodgers, who knows how long they're going to carry 16 pitchers. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just for this opening series in Colorado, you know, or get them, you know, to their first off day, maybe at the most, but you know, for whatever amount of time that they are carrying 16 pitchers, it made sense, a lot of sense, for Lamb to be in the minor leagues. And you know, Edwin Rios definitely deserves to be in the big leagues. The more interesting thing to me is going to be when they do go back to just 15 pitchers, which I assume they will during this 3-week period, do they call up Jake Lamb then, knowing that when the roster goes back down to, I guess 15 pitchers would still be 13 position players, so they could keep those same 13. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you don't think it's as much a concern for me, but the fact that you can't option Jake Lamb, so you can't get him off the active roster without DFAing him once he's on the 40 man, I don't know. I feel like they're going to kick that can down the road as much as they can.
Yeah. I mean, you would think so. You would think that, you know, they're not going to do anything to kind of handcuff themselves at this moment. You know, if Jake Lamb comes up and does well, obviously he can force his hand into having to stay on the roster, but it also makes it a case where if they do try to slip him by waivers, he might not make it through this time. So it's going to be an interesting case. But, you know, staying on the topic of the opening day roster, now we know we're going to have 16 pitchers. We don't know exactly what 16 pitchers are left. There's still a lot of pitchers that haven't been moved yet. Looking at the active roster right now, it would take too long for me to count, but we can talk about which 16 now we think you're going to make it. David Price has made a case now that he's pitched twice. He's gone an inning both times, but he definitely is a lot closer to it than he was before. Phil Bickford pitched over the weekend, probably still not ready for opening day roster, but he did look pretty good. Got, you know, what didn't allow runs and got all his outs in under 15 pitches, if I'm not mistaken. So if we're looking at this roster, Jeff, let's build out the 16.
Yeah. You know, I was just counting while you were talking, and I think the 16, I hesitate to say it's obvious because, you know, they'll probably throw us a curveball and one of these 16 won't be it. But here's the 16 that seem obvious to me in alphabetical order by last name, so nobody's offended. Tyler Anderson, Justin Brule, Walker Buehler, Garrett Clevenger, Tony Gonsolin, Victor Gonzalez, Bruce Dar Gratterall, Andrew Heaney, Daniel Hudson, Clayton Kershaw, Craig Kimbrell, Evan Phillips, David Price, Blake Treinen, Julio Urias, and Alex Vesia. Basically, that's everybody who's on the 40-man roster and hasn't been sent to the minors and who we haven't already heard, you know, for sure. Like, we know Kane Lee and Ferguson and Bickford aren't going to start the season on the active roster, so we're excluding them. It's basically everybody else except for Mitch White. And, you know, maybe they go with White over somebody else. Maybe they go with the guy whose name I can never remember, Shane Green, over one of those guys. But I don't know. That seems like a pretty obvious 16 to me.
Yeah. It's a matter of, I guess, where they think Ferguson's at, which at this point, I think he's only thrown less than an inning since he threw those first two innings, where we kind of talked about he might be on the opening day roster. So Garrett Clevenger makes sense in that aspect. And I think, like I said, they have time with 16 pitchers. They'll have plenty of arms ready to go. They'll have time for Bickford and Ferguson and Keenley to all take their time, get ready, and come in. You know, at the thing, it's a matter of those 16 is probably where it's at now. And then right away, you know, I start thinking about, okay, well, which three are going to go down for the other three? But then they're also going to have to let some others go after this first month. So it's kind of going to be an extended spring training, I would imagine, for a lot of these guys, where, you know, it's a matter of how you perform this first month is if you stay on the roster past it, or if you go down and go pitch for OKC until they need you back up.
Yeah, when we talk about those 16 people, and then recognizing that between the going from 16 pitchers to 13 pitchers, like you said, and then those three guys coming back, having six of those guys who are going to go away, you know, and that kind of makes you really think, okay, what is David Price's future on this team? You know, unless, you know, and I know I just did an episode last week where I talked about, well, maybe he can be an actual contributor, and maybe he can, but if he's not, how much leeway is he going to get? How much leeway is Andrew Heaney going to get? You know, I mean, he's got 3.5 weeks before they have to cut at least three pitchers from the roster. You know, maybe that's the extent of his tryout with the Dodgers. And, you know, Juan Toribio, our buddy Sam Shearer, asked Juan a question in his mailbag and about why they're going with Heaney over Tyler Anderson in the starting rotation. And, you know, and Juan basically said, A, Tyler Anderson came into camp a little bit later and said he was willing to pitch in whatever role. And B, the Dodgers do feel like there's some upside with the new curveball grip that they were working on for Andrew Heaney. And so, you know, maybe there's a chance that whatever they're working on does work. But I feel like if we get anything close to resembling what we saw from Andrew Heaney last year and so far this spring for the first 3.5 weeks, that might be the end of his audition.
It's possible. I mean, the Dodgers was about $8 million down the drain if that was the case, which I mean, obviously they're not going to hesitate. It's already on their docket. So I don't think it makes too much of a difference, but I think there's enough guys with options that they would, you know, obviously not do that, but it's very possible. I mean, I talked about last week how this team needs to get off to a good start, not just for the sake of, you know, getting off to a good start, but also just to kind of, you want to silence some of those doubts, silence some of the, you know, haters, quote unquote haters early on. You don't, you know, these guys are they've done it all. You know, some of these guys have been around where the team was 10 games under in June and, you know, made a crazy run to the playoffs. They've been, you know, 20 to 30 games over 500. They've been in a lot of different spots, but some of the guys that have been around, some of the guys that have been around from other teams. But I do think it's one of those where the Dodgers kind of don't want to play around this year. It feels like it's like the 2017 team, you know, where they're going to go out, they want to win. They don't want to make it dramatic, and they want to have the division locked up by at least mid-September and, you know, get ready for the postseason. And that's where I think there may be some more cutthroat decisions like that where David Price, Andrew Heaney, guys who somewhat established, at least in the major leagues, but maybe not guaranteed to be an established Dodger at this point.
Yeah, and another guy who we haven't really mentioned, and again, this is with the caveat that we don't know what spring training results mean. We don't know what somebody's working on or whatever, but Alex Vesia has looked really bad in spring training, and he has two options left. And so, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see him sent down to the minors at some point in, you know, whether it's when the rosters contract again or when one of those guys comes back. You know, last year he actually wasn't very good in his first outing with the Dodgers, or his first stint, and then they sent him to the minors and he figured something out, and then he was dominant after that. And so maybe they hope to catch that lightning in a bottle again. But, you know, again, maybe he comes out and he's just fine once, you know, once the games start counting, he stops working on things in game, and maybe he'll be just fine. But he's a guy who seems like a possibility to lose a spot for a little while.
Yeah, I was thinking about Vesia, and it's weird, but I do think he's a guy that, like I said, once the games start, I think he's a guy that's very base, adrenaline based, and, you know, it's hard to get that ramped up for a spring game. I know he was throwing a little bit more off. Like last year, we hardly ever saw off speed from Alex Vesia unless he was, you know, in the midst of a battle, when he first came up, he was couldn't throw strikes either way. When he came back, it was mainly off fastballs. He has been mixing in some off-speed stuff here in the future. And like I said, maybe that's what he's trying to work on. But at the end of the day, it's going to play out.
Yeah. Speaking of guys who maybe need adrenaline, should we talk about Craig Kimbrel now or in the next segment?
Yeah, let's talk about Craig Kimbrel after we talk about Built Bar. Built Bar's best tasting protein bars out there. It's just actually, I had two Built Bars over the weekend. One because I had a lunch at 1 p.m. and it was like 10:30, and I just like, I don't want to eat right now because I'm going to go eat at 1, but I need something to hold me over. Built Bar held me over. And then the other one was I had a big-ish dinner. Didn't want to have another big dessert, so I had a Built Bar, and that held me over. So Built Bars serve many purposes. If I start working out on a more consistent basis, Built Bars are going to help out that in that sense. And they're good. They taste great. They have a bunch of different flavors. Pretty much any flavor you could think of, or any, you know, whatever your taste palate is, they'll have something for you. Go to built.com, check it out. You can build a mix box. You can find your favorite flavors, whatever you need. Built.com, you'll get a Built Bar, low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein, high fiber. And you can get 15% off right now if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right. Yes, Craig Kimbrel made his Dodgers debut on Saturday. And after four batters, he had not recorded an out and given up two home runs. And you know, obviously the collective joke on Twitter was lost the trade. And despite that being an easy joke, I still got a lot of good traction on it, me personally. But that notwithstanding, it looked like he was working on his curveball. Curveball didn't look very good. It hung a few times. Those are the balls that got hit over the wall. But any concern at all for you, Jeff? You're on mute.
Sorry, guys. These newfangled computers. I wouldn't say there's no concern, but, you know, we just talked on Friday in our emergency episode about the fact that, you know, Craig Kimbrel, a lot of his struggles throughout his career, he's better in save situations. And I would imagine that a non-save situation in a spring training game is about as little adrenaline as Craig Kimbrel is going to get. And so, you know, Kimbrel, in his first press conference with the Dodgers on Friday, I guess, he talked about, you know, his struggles with the White Sox last year. And he said he doesn't attribute it to not being in the closer role. It was more not getting ahead of hitters, not being able to land his curveball for strikes, and so having to challenge hitters more than he would have liked. You know, a lot of those things. But, you know, we don't know why that happens. And, you know, I think it's entirely possible that he's a guy who is just going to pitch better when the games matter and he is in a save situation like he's used to. But until we've actually seen that happen, I'm not going to be totally confident that that's the entire issue.
Yeah, it goes, I mean, if you want to take it a little deeper, you can look at his stats. And, you know, 2019, he finished the year with a 6.53 ERA. You could say, you know, he started the year late because he signed late, and, you know, that maybe contributed to it. He gets a 2020, 5.28 ERA in 18 games. You know, if you want to call it a short, small sample size, whatever the case is, you can call it that. And then, like I said, 2021 came out lights out and then struggled in the back half when he wasn't good. And obviously there's always going to be some slight concern with reliever in general, even though he's been fairly consistent up until the last 3 years, and reliever in general, getting older and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, realistically, not too much concern. First time throwing to Will Smith was catching at the time. First time throwing to, you know, that catcher. I don't even know if he had thrown a real bullpen other than warming up in the bullpen to come in. And like I said, it looked like when he came out, he talked to Will Smith about something. So it looked like maybe, you know, they were discussing, hey, what did this look like? Or, hey, whatever the blah, 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 you know, whatever it was, they were talking about pitching, and he was asking some questions about probably what his pitches look like, or whatever the case. So, yeah, no concern right now. And like we said in the emergency episode, the Dodgers didn't need Craig Kimbrel. So realistically, if he implodes, it's more of a money thing than anything else. Their bullpen should be able to hold it over. But, you know, I would have preferred to have Steven come in and get three strikeouts in a row, but, you know,
that's, for sure,
it just didn't happen that way.
Yeah. And, you know, the other benefit to this is because he doesn't have the history with the Dodgers that Kenley Jansen had, I think they won't be as hesitant to, you know, yank him out of the closer role, or, you know, or at least, you know, okay, let's go with Blake Treinen for a couple of days, you know, or whatever it is. They don't have that, I almost said fragile ego, and I don't mean to put that on Kenley. They don't have that emotional attachment that they had to Kenley. And so that's probably a good thing. But yeah, I mean, Kimbrel has thrown in two games so far this spring, has a total of one inning pitched and 8 earned runs allowed. His whip is 8. That's not going to get it done. But, you know, until I see what he does in a game that matters, it's hard to have any idea. But, you know, the nature of we talked about how they were selling high on Pollock and kind of buying low on Kimbrel. And the nature of buying low on somebody is you're buying them at a low point. You know, there is some risk involved in that. Kimbrel is kind of the definition of a high risk, high reward acquisition, because if he can get back to that form, the reward is astronomical. But, you know, the risk is there. And that's why he was available in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, an 8 whip, the only way to go is down. So, you know, it's only improvement on the way. But before we get into our final topic, any other concerns from the spring? I know, you know, Dodger fans, I didn't watch the game, the Anaheim game. I would imagine there was some concerns over any time losing to the Angels. Noah Syndergaard threw 5 innings, gave up 1 run against the Dodgers. Dodgers offense has been, you know, kind of hit or miss so far this spring in terms of in totality. You know, individually, there's been guys that have been good and guys haven't been maybe that good. But is there any other concerns from this spring or from what you've seen? That you, like I said, not necessarily statistics, but just what you've seen.
You know, concern probably isn't the right word that I would use for any of them. Like you said with Kimbrel, obviously I would have loved to have Buehler come out and throw 5 shutout innings instead of, you know, 5 lackluster innings. Obviously I would love it if Mookie Betts was hitting and if Cody Bellinger was hitting. You know, I expect that. I don't necessarily think Mookie is just going to flip a switch when the game starts. I think he is a little bit of a slow starter, and maybe the shortened spring training for Mookie ends up meaning that we get a week or two of him struggling before he gets locked in, which we've seen even just in his short time as a Dodger. You know, he's had some slow starts and then ended up pretty okay. Bellinger, I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, what I saw from Buehler was, you know, the home runs he gave up, I think they were all on changeups. At least 2 of them were on changeups. And, you know, that's a pitch that he just developed last year. And so he's probably going to be a little bit more choosy in where he throws that, when he throws that changeup and, you know, in the regular season. So yeah, other than the fact that, you know, I would love it if the Dodgers offense was already clicking, but beyond that, I'm not overly concerned. I don't think we've seen a single game this spring where their lineup was what's actually likely to be their starting lineup in the regular season.
Yeah. I think they had 1, but Pollock was in that lineup. So different, but yeah, you know, I'm ready for spring. Even with the shortened spring, I'm ready for spring to be over at this point. They got 2 more at Dodger Stadium, but after that, we get to the real ones.
The nice thing is this year, like, we're kind of just getting to that point. Normally, you get to that, but, oh, I'm so ready for spring to get over, and then there's 3 weeks of it left, you know? And now we've only been there for, you know, maybe a week, maybe even less, and we actually get real games this week.
Yeah. Over the weekend, the Rockies named Kyle Freeland their opening day starter. We were going to talk about the opening day lineup, but we can save that for another episode this week ahead of the opening day, because there was some stuff over the week or over the past week. And then on Sunday, they came out getting back to 2017. I mentioned last week how Yankees GM Brian Cashman had talked about, you know, how he doesn't feel it's fair that people said the Yankees haven't made the World Series since 2009. Because they were essentially cheated out of making it in 2017. Carlos Beltran, who is hired by Yes Network, which is the Yankees network, and who is going to be working, you know, and having Yankee fans be concerned with him again, seemed to go on an apology tour of a bit, or had an interview that was an apology. And the main takeaway is that he said that the 2017 title does have a stain, that if anybody had told them to stop doing it, they would have stopped doing it. even though it has been on record that AJ Hinch was not a fan of it and tried to stop it a few times. He said that the players didn't know about the mandate from MLB, that they shouldn't, that they weren't allowed to use technology. And he did mention that the Yankees have, or not the Yankees, that the Astros have shown remorse, which I don't know if he knows what the word remorse means. But at the end of it, I think he's just trying to endear himself again to MLB and to these Yankee fans. But also, you know, there's some truth in what he said in terms of, the 2017 title.
Yeah, I did see Alex Bregman stand up on a booster stool and read a prepared statement of remorse. So maybe that's what he's talking about. You know, there's a lot to unpack there. First, on the AJ Hinch thing, Hinch, I actually believe Beltran when he says if somebody in management had told them to stop, they would have. Hinch didn't do that. Hinch, from what we know, broke the TV a couple times, but in private. You know, basically his approach was, well, maybe if I break the TV, they'll forget that you can buy more TVs. And you know, but what an actual leader would have done would have been to say, hey, guys, this is cheating. You know it's cheating. You can't use this excuse that you haven't seen the specific memo because you've been baseball fans your whole life. You understand in your hearts that this is cheating. So stop doing it. That's what a leader would have done. I'm shocked that AJ Hinch got another job in baseball because he showed such a lack of leadership in that regard. It fell down. Jeff Luhnow probably never will get another job. I think it's more on the field manager. You say, you know what? Okay, here's the thing. You stop cheating. If you do it again, you're benched. The first time I bench you, I'll say it's because you have a nagging wrist thing. The second time, I will tell the media it's because you won't stop cheating. That's what a leader would do. And Beltran was 40 years old and should have been enough of a leader in the clubhouse. Like to, you know, I understand Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman was in his second season. You know, he's 3'4". He's a little guy. You know, what's he going to say? Jose Altuve and Carlos Beltran, there's no excuse for me that they, you know, Altuve, they say he didn't take part in it as much, but he was a former batting champion, a multi-talent all-star. He is a leader in that clubhouse who should have spoken up. Carlos Beltran, he's my age. He's literally my age. Look at these gray hairs. Carlos, this was only 5 years ago. These gray hairs were already here. Carlos Beltran was old and mature and should have, instead of actually helping spearhead the thing, he should have stepped up. And so he was crying, woe is me, in this interview, saying I was the only player who was mentioned. Well, you should have been the only player mentioned, you know, or you definitely should have been mentioned because you were 40 years old. You should have known better and you should have used your stature in the clubhouse to step up. And so I'm glad that he can admit that it's stained. I think the whole, well, if we'd seen the memo, if somebody told us to stop, we would have stopped. While it may be true, it's also a load of hooey. That's what us old people call that.
Yeah. So the other part too is, you know, this, I would imagine this is going to be the end of it. I don't think any, you know, I doubt any of the Dodgers beat writers are going to ask the Dodgers about any of this stuff. But, you know, the people that still say, oh, it's 5 years ago, get over it. Technically, it's only been 2 years since we've known this has happened. And, you know, this is the first time someone on the Astros has admitted that their title is tainted, at least to a certain extent. So, you know, it's fresh information to a certain point. But at the end of the day, you know, the Dodgers haven't really been part of it. It's just obviously that the 2017 Astros were the ones that beat the Dodgers. But it's mainly been Brian Cashman crying and then Carlos Beltran trying to get into some good graces.
Yeah, and the people who cheated don't get to control the timeline on when other people get over it.
Yeah, that's a fact and not a feeling, as someone that we both know once told us.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, you got anything else before we head out? We're a little bit over.
Nope, I'm good.
All right,
tomorrow. Actually, but just, yeah, tomorrow, I'll preview this. Tomorrow's episode is going to be a NL West division preview. I did a crossover episode with the hosts of the other four NL West teams. So that's going to be tomorrow's episode. It's a lengthy one. Prepare that, you know, it's longer than your, I think it's probably going to be in close to 50 minutes. And so be prepared for that. But it was a lot of fun. We recorded it before the Kimbrel for Pollock trade and before the Padres traded for Sean Manaea. And so it's a little, but for the most part, it still holds up and it was a lot of fun. And I think you guys will enjoy it. So check that out.
Yeah, I forgot how our Monday episodes usually go because we usually have so much to talk about that happened over the weekend. But yeah, the Padres got Sean Manaea for two lower tier prospects, maybe somebody that I think if the Dodgers would have wanted him, they could have got him at, for what it cost, unless there's a Dodger tax like some people believe in. You know, maybe there is. But either way, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank y'all for listening. NLS preview tomorrow. If you need a second listen of the day after listening to us, Locked On Dodgers as your first listen of the day, check out Locked On MLB with host Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DM dropping all those accounts if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. You can also send them via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car, if you're at home. Take your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.